But this morning, I'm going to answer the question, as our sermon title is a question again, does what we do matter? And the short answer, and actually the long answer, are yes. Because, really, what we do matters. We all know that. And we're probably fairly certain that the Bible is pretty clear about it. But I want to look at it from a particular perspective, because I want to make sure that we're looking at our actions and whether or not they matter in the right way. It's possible for us to think that what we matter, or what we do, can matter in an ultimately existential way, if you will, and look at things from the perspective that if we do the wrong thing, we will permanently rupture our relationship with God through Jesus, and we'll have to start again from the beginning. And that simply isn't true. There are some people who have made the case that says you can behave your way out of that relationship. You can sin sufficiently that God will turn his back on you forever. I'm not sure that's the case. Well, okay, that's a bit of a weasel word. That's not the case. I've listened to those arguments. I don't find them sufficiently compelling to offset some of the other things that we see very clearly in Scripture. And so we're not talking about that. We're not talking about, you know, does what we do matter in such a profound way that we better make sure we don't do that thing, or it's all over. It's as if we never knew God, and we're going to have to start from the beginning. In the same way that our children, and anyone who's had children, or has been a child, so I think we've got everybody in the room now, there's been at least one time when a child has said to a parent, I wish you weren't my parent. Sometimes they wish they didn't have parents at all, but sometimes they look you right in the eye and say, I wish you weren't my dad. Which is kind of hard to take, but when they're five and you're taking them away from the park, you can usually survive, and you take them away from the park anyway. Because it doesn't matter what they say. They can even go to school the next day and say, I have no father, or my father is someone else. It doesn't matter. They are the child, you are the parent, or you are the child and they are the parent, and nothing changes that ever. Even when your parents are no longer living, you are still their child. I'm always Garth's child, I'm always Angeline's child, that's all there is to it. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about, does what we do matter inside that relationship? Does what we do count? Does it have any value? And we're going to be looking at a Hebrews reading this morning to answer this question. And there's a couple of reasons why we need to pay attention to what we do and see how it matters. And some of them are specifically to our benefit, and some are to other people's benefits. And we're going to look at the first one. It comes to our benefit, and it's in Hebrews 13, verse 2. Do not forget to entertain strangers. Now, we're not talking about it slips your mind that you need to entertain strangers, or that you have a stranger in your house and you forget they're there. We're not talking about that. The writer of Hebrews is saying, remember that one of the things that you probably are going to do anyway, and that one of the things you're going to do even more likely now that you have this relationship with God through Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes within it, bringing generosity and hospitality, you are going to entertain strangers. You're going to minister to people you don't know well, who aren't in your family. And remember this too. Some people who did that entertained angels without knowing it. We see it in the Old Testament, in Scripture, but in a group this large, I would be surprised if you don't have at least one experience, either in your circle or that you've read about from a credible source, where someone has done this very thing, not just in Scripture, where they have ministered to someone and it turned out that when they thought they were ministering to a particular person, it turned out to be an angel. We see it in the Old Testament where angels come and visit people who then take care of them, and then they realize, wait, you're a messenger from God, not just another nomad, not just a stranger. And it's not just here, and we're not being crass, we're not saying that you now have a great story. I thought I was helping somebody from out of town, it turned out to be an angel. These always bring with them blessing. So does what we do matter? Yes, it does, because sometimes when we do what we're going to do anyway, when we When we allow the Holy Spirit, who has changed us from the inside out and has made us more hospitable than we would be naturally, who has made us more generous than we would be naturally, sometimes when we give outlet to our hospitable, generous natures, sometimes it's to angels, and blessing comes back upon us. That's not why we do it, but that is occasionally one of the outcomes. So does what we do matter? Yes, it matters to us. Not just our sense of satisfaction at helping someone. Sometimes the blessing comes back with the word that you're going to have a miraculous child, as it did in the Old Testament. And sometimes the blessing is of any kind, but we can receive this blessing. So what we do matters and can matter to us in a way that blesses us. I was talking about this to our friends at Knox. There's several of these in this chapter 13. We could only look at a couple because we had a visiting couple from Montreal who have a church there, and they gave us an update that encouraged us tremendously. So I had to skip over this next one, but I'm glad we have a chance to talk about it. And if we skip down to verse 5. There are many things we could talk about in here. But it says, keep your lives free from the love of money. The love of money. It does not say keep your lives free from money. Scripture very frequently talks about how the poor receive blessings from God. It very seldom suggests that poverty is something we should look for. The only one I can think of is the rich young ruler who, to produce other outcomes in his life, was told to sell all he had. Poverty in and of itself is not something that we should try and achieve. Although, there are many ways to do it. Having just come out of an MBA class this past week, which is why I'm kind of bleary-eyed, we ran across a couple of them. My favorite, of course, being Richard Branson's story that if you want to become a millionaire, first become a billionaire and buy an airline. So, the achievement of poverty is not what we're talking about here. What it's saying, keep your lives free from the love of money. Keep your lives free from a grasping, hoarding mentality. So does what we do matter? Yes, it does, when it relates to how we look at money. We want to keep our lives free from the love of money because money in and of itself really has no value. It's what we can do with money that matters. And the writer of Hebrews goes on and says, and be content with what you have. Contentment is not settling. That's one of my biggest frustrations, is that when you tell someone you're working towards contentment, they say, oh, you're just going to settle for whatever you've got. No, settling means you've given up. Settling is a fatalistic view that says, this is as good as it gets, so I'm not, who cares? Being content says, what I have, all that I have, the health I enjoy, the family I have, the material possessions, the peace of mind, everything I have comes from God. And I am content with what He has given me. But He's also given me the ability to achieve more things, and I will be content with those if I achieve more, if I have a different position or have a different home. In the same way that I'll be content if I have less, because contentment means that I'm paying attention to what God says, because that's the second half of this. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, not just as an exercise in mind control or thought control directed towards yourself, but because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can people do to me? When we live our lives as if we love money, as if money is important, as if we cannot be content, we always need to have more, what we're saying is, God can't take care of me, I have to do it myself. One of the nastiest things someone up front in a religious situation can do is ask people, don't do this, ask people for a show of hands who believe that in the Bible it says God helps those who help themselves, because it doesn't anywhere. Well, God helps those who help themselves into the abyss. God does not help those who help themselves. If you say, I'm going to take care of myself, God, will, being the respecter of our volition, will say, okay, go ahead. I don't want to live a life where God doesn't help me. I want to live a life that says, I understand that you've said you won't leave me or forsake me, and I want to say with confidence that the Lord is my helper. I won't be afraid. That's what happens when we live our lives free from the love of money. What we do matters. If we live our lives in such a way that it makes no difference whether God's there or not, that matters. And it says that we have decided we are solely responsible for ourselves, which is the kind of statement people make when they're 24 or 28 or whatever age they are. It stops the first time you have an illness. It comes out of nowhere that's more than a cold. You go, oh, maybe I can't do everything for myself. It's the first time a loved one faces a serious issue, whether it's health or whatever it might be, and you realize that you can't fix it. And all the money in the world won't fix it. Oh, that's what they're talking about. What we do matters. And when we live our lives in such a way that says that money, position, reputation, power solve all of our problems, we're saying that we don't need God, whether we want to say that out loud or not. Our actions speak louder than words most of the time, even if the only person hearing what we're doing is us. We look at the next one that says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. How do we apply what does what we do matter here? Well, it comes from being willing to take both instruction and correction from people who are further along than us, which is not just an age issue. Although, with age, I've realized, do come a lot of things that pass for wisdom if they aren't actually wisdom. I say pass for it because frequently people say, well, you're so patient. Well, maybe I'm more patient, but I'm mostly too tired to get excited about that. I've got enough to worry about with 17-year-old twins that I can't worry about that right now, and maybe it'll go away by the time I get enough energy to worry. That's not wisdom. That's something else altogether. But when we live our lives as if those who have gone before, whether it's in the written word, the example of those in Scripture, church history, our own history, just the secular history of the world, when we think that we don't have to pay attention to anything that's gone on before and that we can figure it out on our own and we don't have to take advice, well, we have a problem. The writer of Hebrews says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith with the unspoken word when it's worthy of imitation. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. When we look at the church and church leaders, when we look at Scripture and we say, well, you know, we'd pay attention to that, but the internet wasn't invented then. Cars weren't invented then. All these things weren't invented then, so it has nothing to say to me. The example of the work ethic of my grandfather is pointless because he didn't know about the labor-saving devices we have now. He died in 1980, I think. Well, what did he know about stuff? Well, he knew how to work. He knew how to get up in the morning. He knew how to be the kind of person that signed contracts because that was part of the world, but nobody knew that it would make any difference to his taking care of them, whether it was signed or not. When we think that we have nothing to learn from those who know more than us because they've gone through this before, whether they're older or younger, whether they have credentials behind their names or not, whether they're women or men, if we think that we can safely write off somebody, what we're saying is that the Lord of the universe, Jesus Christ himself, has changed. That the example we have from those who have gone before us in the faith has nothing to say to us because it's a different Jesus now, and that's not true. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The eternal values, the morals and ethical frameworks, the construction of the universe has not changed as it relates to God's call upon his people. And if we think that we can live our lives in such a way that we pay no attention to that, we're wrong. Does what we do matter? Yes, it does. One of the things that we need to do is look to those who have gone before. Sometimes we do it in biographies and in stories. Sometimes we do it by talking to somebody across the table. And as I said, sometimes they're older, but not always. I work with people who are generally younger than I am, and they have so much to teach me, not just about the mechanics of the job, but about what it's like to be a human being the way things are now. I need to listen to that. I need to listen to other people's experience, not just because of their experience, but because their reflection of their experience of Jesus, their reflection of their experience of the world that Jesus made, matters. And if I ignore it, I'm saying that Jesus wasn't there before the same way he is now. And that's just not true. And the last one I want to look at is in verse 16. And this picks up in some ways on the first one we looked at about hospitality, and says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. And once again, it's not, you know, don't let it slip your mind that you've done that or that you're capable of doing that. It's saying, remember to do these things. Remember to pay attention to the fact that you can do good and you can share with others. And you want to. The Holy Spirit brought that with you if you weren't that kind of person before, and the vast majority of human beings are that way before. Well, why? For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. And I would put it to you that God isn't just pleased, God is blessed by what we do when we do that. And I put it that way because I struggled with that when I first started actually reading the Psalms and paying attention to what they actually said. And reading where the psalmist will bless God, I thought, how does that work? When I first encountered that, I thought, that's just dumb. We don't bless God. God, if he exists, because that was the kind of person I was then, blesses us and we just do whatever we do. No, we bless God. As I said before, among the very many wonderful benefits of having children is that they've given me an insight into God that I just don't think I would have ever gotten to. That's part of what came with that. The older daughters still do this, not as frequently, but they did when they were younger, and Neela still does, will make me a picture just because. She doesn't want anything out of me. She's not working out the technique of art. She just wanted to make me a picture. That's a blessing to me. That makes my life better. That makes me a happier human being. Makes me a better... It's just better for me overall. The blessing that she provides to me. Now, we can also provide blessing to God. It doesn't make him better. He is goodness incarnate, even when he isn't incarnate. But does what we do matter? Yes. When we make those sacrifices, and sometimes they're significant and sometimes they're not, sometimes they're simply sacrifices of time, but when we put in something to accomplish what we do, God is pleased. I want to please God, not because I'm afraid of him. My mother's been dead for a long time. My dad's been dead for not as long, but still. When they were still alive and I was fully grown up, I occasionally did things just because it made them happy. I told them things about what I was doing because they wanted to know, not because they were checking up on me, not because they were worried about me, but when I said, hey, I made the audition, I'm in the auditioned choir. It made my mother happy. She didn't get anything out of it except happiness. The sacrifice for me wasn't large, but she was pleased. When we make sacrifices, when we reach out to those around us, when we minister to people, whether they can ever do anything for us or not, whether we know them or not, whether they're friends and family and close acquaintances or complete strangers, doesn't matter. God is pleased. What we do matters to God and blesses him. I want to do that. I want to do all of these things, and all of them matter. not from that ultimate sense, but they matter. They're real. They have a real connection with the world in which we live. Sometimes the blessing comes to me. Maybe I entertain an angel. And whatever that blessing is, maybe that comes to me. Maybe I keep my life free from this love of money, and I'm a content person, which makes everything around me better. People who are chronically discontented are very hard to be around. They don't live as long. They get sick more often. When I do all of these things to be content, I remind myself that God has said, I'm with you all the time. And if I act that way, I become that way. Our actions matter. When I remember those who have gone ahead, it's not just learning from your example, and I learn from you often. It's that I also remember that the same Jesus who's here today was there when you learned that, and was there when whoever you learned it from experienced it. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which gives me confidence for the future, even as it gives me confidence to listen to what you've learned. And I really like the idea of blessing God. I like the idea of pleasing God. I enjoy the fact that I can please God, not because I'm expecting a return, but because I like it. In the same way I like pleasing my children, pleasing my wife and family, pleasing you. We like making people pleased. What we do matters in all of these directions. Sometimes what we do has profound eternal consequences. Most of the time it doesn't. But it always, always matters. Amen.